In Sunday school, the little story in the opening was about the temptation of Eve, and certainly by Satan. Someone had asked me to preach on the Antichrist, and I told them that I'm hoping to be gone by then. And maybe we'll get to it a little bit at some point. But there's an interesting verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. It speaks to the idea that Satan would love to be Lord of everything in this world. But there is one who restrains him. And that, of course, is the Holy Spirit in the church, dwelling in the church. And when it speaks about him being taken away, we know when that's going to happen. Not the day or the hour, but we know the theology of it, which is called the rapture of the church. When we go to be with the Lord, the Holy Spirit is with us. So the restraining power, you know, we might not think too much of ourselves here today, but we are very, very important and keeping evil at bay. The coming together of the church. Some of you, I think, knew Pastor Rizzi at the Berlin First Baptist Church. I'm Facebook friends with him. And he was in a bit of a discussion with someone about the importance of the church this week. And this particular person was saying, we can be the church whether we come to a building or not. And of course, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst. And it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but come together so much more as you see that day approaching. It's so important for us as Christians, for us as the church, to be together as a restraining power of evil in the world today. So you are important. And being here is important. It's a part of the plan and purpose of God. So Satan was first introduced to us in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, right very near the beginning. The writer says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Temptation, the work of Satan. But how did he come into being? Why was Satan created? Well, we know that Satan is seen as a tempter. That this was an individual attack on Adam and Eve, and that through Adam, it says in the book of Romans, every one of us became sinners, and we sin because we're sinners. But now is a time for testing, for us, for people. There was a time of testing for Satan, for all of the angels that God had created. For them, they have now been confirmed either righteous or unrighteous. For us, it's still that time of decision that we have from now until we die to embrace Christ or not to. The decision is ours to make. And it's by the grace of God that we have that decision to make. I was thinking recently about this life that we have and being able to live where we live. And I suppose everywhere there's benefits and positive things and negative things about where we live. You know, the beauty of Petersburg and this valley, to be able to look at the trees changing colors, to be able to see the mountains every day. It's just a beautiful place to live. And whether it's spring or winter, summer, fall, there's beauty all around us. And we get to enjoy that. Whether we're a Christian or an unbeliever, we get to enjoy that. We get to enjoy the warmth of the summer. We get to enjoy the coolness of the spring and the fall. We get to enjoy the foods that we eat. And for the most part of my life, I haven't had to experience pain. Some people do. We are blessed. As Americans, we're blessed. We have more than most people around the world. We can go to a grocery store and get almost whatever food we'd like to eat for that day. As I thought about that, I thought, what if God had created the consequences of sin to be different than they are? A lot of people say, I don't want to believe in hell. In fact, a survey was taken about people who believed in God. And many of the people who believe in God don't believe in Satan. I think the survey that I read about was taken in a Bible college. And the people in that college believed in God, but they didn't believe in Satan. They didn't want to believe in hell. Can you imagine if God had willed us all to be born? But when Adam and Eve sinned, the choice of salvation was never given to them. And they went directly into hell forever. What would it have been like for us to have been born in hell under the condemnation of sin? Could God have set it up that way? He could have, couldn't he? He could have done whatever he wanted to do. But even those who never choose to trust in Christ or follow Jesus are given time to decide, surrounded by all of the beauty of God's creation, the wonderful sunrises and sunsets, the beauty here of the seasons that we experience, the handprint of the Creator on His creation. And all of that goodness, the Bible says, is to draw us to Himself. But Satan is here still to tempt us. We read about him in Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. Satan, or Lucifer, was created as one of the archangels of God, the head of the angels. But now he has fallen from heaven, and his desire is to weaken the nations. He does a pretty good job at that as we look around the world, doesn't he? The divisions, the problems that are faced even in our nation today. No, it's not because we have Democrats and Republicans. One of my friends put on Facebook this week that he wished that we would have more parties. And I really enjoy the two-party system because half the people are happy half the time. If Congress flips over to Democrat, everybody will be happy, except the politicians. They might leave us alone for change. But anyway, it's Satan who seeks that divisiveness in all of the nations. And we should see him for who he is, trying to weaken the nations. It says, but you, Satan, said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. In exalting himself, Satan weakens the nations. Godly nations are strong because they give God his rightful place. Sinful nations are weak because they reject their Creator. If America is ever to become great again, or greater than it's ever been before, it'll be because we, as churches, God's people, we as a nation, come to know Him. And we shouldn't be trying to convert people to one party or the other party. We should be seeking to bring them to Jesus Christ. Satan exalted himself. He tried to take the place of God. And we see the same problem in the lives of the leaders in the world today. Many leaders from the past, Pharaoh, Darius in the time of Daniel, Napoleon, leaders in communist countries follow that same pattern. They want to be worshipped. It was Satan's problem, and it continues to be our problem today. The king of Tyre is talked about in Ezekiel chapter 28, but some of the terms that are used could only be used here of Satan. It says Ezekiel 28, verse 12, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That concept of Satan in his perfection as created by God before his fall. It says you were in Eden. Now, the king of Tyre was never in Eden, but Satan was. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapislazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald. And the gold and the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Remember earlier Isaiah's vision of the throne of God and the stones of fire. You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. The images of Satan. Surely if you had seen him in his perfection, we all would have been tempted to bow down and worship him. Beauty and wisdom. But unrighteousness was found in Lucifer and Satan. The choice was given to the angels, and he made the wrong choice. God allowed for him a time of testing. And when Satan and those who followed him fell, they were sealed in unrighteousness. There's no saving demons. There's no salvation for Satan. In fact, the Bible teaches that hell was prepared for Satan and the angels that followed him. In the future, Satan will be bound and imprisoned in hell, along with those who choose to follow him. And we see caricatures of Satan and the reality of Satan today. In the Middle Ages, they thought that if they made a caricature of the devil, they would attack him at his greatest vulnerability. So they made him dressed in a red suit with a pitchfork, horns, and a tail. The reality is just the opposite. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." This picture of Satan as a lion. We have the biblical picture of Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. So Satan is the counterfeit of Jesus. There are two extremes when it comes to Satan in the world today. For some, believe that Satan doesn't exist. And for others, Satan is a powerful, enticing force leading them into the occult. Satan, through the years, has attacked Christians. Peter, perhaps, was one of the first. Peter claimed in Luke 22:33, he said to the Lord, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." But Jesus said to him, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat." That's the power that Satan has over Christians. Because our strength is nothing compared to his strength. Peter needed to realize that the power to resist temptation came and now comes from God and did not come from his own power. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." If we don't have the Lord in our life, we are powerless against Satan. Peter needed to understand first submission to God. There was a part for Peter to play. We're not helpless. We're not devoid of any responsibility in our interaction with Satan. James would write in James 4:7, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." One of the stories I like is a Sunday school teacher was talking to her children one day and asked a little girl in her class, "What do you do when Satan knocks at your door?" She said, "I let Jesus answer." That's the only way to deal with Satan. But he is confident, he is bold, and he will tempt every Christian. How do we know that? He even tried to tempt Jesus. Should he have known better? Certainly should have. Jesus had created him. On the level of power, God is first in category. Not a created being, he is the creator. Nothing that he has created can stand against him. Then in another category, there are angels and demons, and you and me. Same category, because we are created beings. But Satan has more power than we have. But Jesus has infinitely more power than Satan has. But Jesus was tempted. He had fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. And Satan came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Jesus is the creator, right? It wouldn't have been hard for him to just speak the word, not just bread the whole supermarket. He could do anything that he wants to do. But he came back and said to him, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus answered Satan by turning to the word of God. He knew it. He had written it. He had inspired it. And now it inspired him. Satan didn't give up. I think that's a good lesson for us to learn today, too. If we put him off once, there'll be other chinks in our armor that he can tempt us with. The devil took him, Jesus, into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Satan's using scripture to tempt Jesus. But I think in all these things, he's saying, "If you are the Son of God," questioning who Jesus is, but also offering him something that he deserves. After all, the temple represented Jesus, didn't it? The altar would represent his sacrifice on the cross for our sin. Entering into the Holy Holies is embracing that sacrifice and coming into the very presence of God. The temple was all about Jesus. And he deserved that honor, not only from men, but from angels. But his answer again came from Scripture. He said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, it says the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus deserved that worship, didn't he? He is God the Son. He is the creator of everything that is, deserving our worship and the worship of every tongue, that every tongue would confess, that every knee would bow to the Lord Jesus. And Satan tempted Jesus with the worship of the world. But Jesus again said, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Like Peter, we need to come to the realization that we are no match for the temptation of Satan. But we must also realize that Satan is no match for the presence and power of God in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating such a wonderful world for us to enjoy. Your beauty and your wisdom are demonstrated all around us. I pray today that as we live in your creation, that we might give you the honor that you deserve. I pray that we might not seek our own kingdoms, but that we might truly pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray too that You would lead us not into temptation, but that You would deliver us from the evil one. Help us not to depend upon our own inability to defeat the temptations of Satan. Help us to trust completely in You. You alone are able to keep us from falling under the temptations of Satan. We are dependent upon You. Bless us now as we continue to put our full trust in You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.